You're listening to Live from Mount Sinai on the TalkWarrior.com radio network. This is Moshe. I'm here to defend God's law, fight evil, and bash Republicans. We're broadcasting live. Today is Sunday, December 19th, 2004. It is 12 o'clock noon Pacific time. You can call in at 415-738-0689. That's 415-738-0689. Our website is TalkWarrior.com. That's TalkWarrior.com. Okay. Today we are going to do a special show about Kevorkian, Dr. Kevorkian. I have some important things that have never been said about Kevorkian that I'm going to say today. But first, let me tell you that there's been an important development in the status of my show, Live from Mount Sinai, in that I have left my notice to Live 365, the people that are currently streaming this radio show, and I've told them that if they do not stop displaying military recruitment ads on their website by the end of this year, that I am going to cancel my account with them. Okay? So I do not expect them to honor my request, but especially in light of the fact that the assholes that have, I didn't instigate this whole little revolt here, okay, but especially in light of the fact that no one else is really here in this community, and maybe I'll get to that later in the show. Today I really wanted to talk about Kevorkian, okay, but everyone in this community, this Live 365 community that has opposed this war, has totally wimped out and has really refused. You know, they want their cake and they want to eat it too. Okay? They don't want the war. The war is evil, but, you know, they don't want to risk letting go of their station. So I'm the martyr. Okay? I'm the one that's going to, you know, I'm going to take the heat here, okay? But that's okay, because, you know, I refuse to support this fucking evil war in Iraq. I refuse to support the killing, the mass killing of civilians, of children, of babies. I refuse to support the violation of the Geneva Convention and the torture of political prisoners in Iraq and Gitmo. I fucking refuse to accept this evil war. And I don't care what anyone says, what anyone does. You know, before this evil war started, okay, a bunch of protesters went out and they bitched and moaned and they made a lot of noise. Actually, they didn't make a lot of noise, but all they did was do a little, you know, yelling and screaming, and they said, they actually did a lot of yelling and screaming, you know, and they said, we'll be here no matter what, we'll be here every week, you know, but, you know, they're not, you know, I don't see any anti-war rallies. Well, I'm doing something about this war, motherfuckers, okay? And I'm saying, fuck it. you know, this is it for this, you know, for Live 365. I'm canceling the live the streaming account, but I will continue to broadcast. Let me reinforce that, okay? My website is talkwarrior.com, all right? Let me repeat that, talkwarrior.com, all right? I will continue to broadcast, all right? I will not, for now, I will not be streaming live, but I will probably be recording live, all right? And also, I will continue to have a call-in support, okay? Which reminds me, you know, I don't even think I turned my fucking, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, like an idiot. I forgot to turn the phone, my phone line on, okay? But it doesn't matter because no one has fucking called yet, and chances of that happening, you know, that just happening are not too large. But again, the phone number is 415-738-0689. 415-738-0689. All right. Last week will probably be my last show broadcasting live on Live 365. Okay. That would be Sunday. Let me get my calendar out. That's Sunday, the 26th. I will be here, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. This is probably the last show. I might do one other show on New Year's Eve, okay, or on New Year's Day or whatever, okay. But you know, unless Live 365 gets back to me and you know, honors my request to stop promoting the war machine in Iraq, to stop supporting the mass killing and slaughter in Iraq, okay, and the occupation of Iraq, and the taking away of freedom in Iraq, okay. We talk a lot about freedom in this country, okay, and we're freedom, you know, we're the freedom people, you know, we're freedom guys, okay. But what we were doing is taking away the freedom of Iraqis. We're taking away their right to self-government. We are taking away their right to free speech, their right to a free press, okay? This notion of freedom is pure shit, but I really don't want to get hung up on this right now. I came into the show right now wanting to talk about Kevorkian, and that's what I'm going to do. But first, I really want to take a break.
I wasted all those years in that disgrace school, and their useless jobs that held me back. They tried to break my will upon me, but I won't submit. I am much too strong for that. I have seen the young merchants become shadow whores who chase fun times down on all fours. It used to break my heart, mama, but I'm older now. This world ain't me for honest men. Oh, I journey in the sun, watch the river flow. Oh, I run to where my spirit is, watch the river flow. I have seen a brutal trial while the good ones stayed as weary stragglers in the last parade. I have seen a prince of darkness who pulls all strings on this tortured world beneath demons' wings. I have seen the empty braggarts become worthy kings while honest Joes cannot get anything. I have seen conniving liars murder kindly men in this world of sin. never end. Oh, a journey in the summer sun. What's the real of gold? Oh, I run to where my spirit's free. What's the real of gold?
Okay, that was John Truby and the Ugly Janitors of America, and the song was Watch the River Flow. All right, I want to talk about Kevorkian. Now, I didn't get a chance to talk about, I wanted to talk about this last week, okay, because Kevorkian had been, his parole had gotten denied last week, I believe, but I didn't really have time on the show to fit Kevorkian in. The reason I want to talk about Kevorkian is because I knew one of Kevorkian's victims. Her name was Judith Curran. If you do a Google search with the keywords Kevorkian and Judith Curran, her last name, Judy's last name, was C-U-R-R-E-N. You're going to find a lot of interesting information, okay? You'll find that Judy was Kevorkian's 35th victim. You'll find that Judy suffered from a non-terminal disease, and the autopsy showed that she was healthy, yet obese. You'll find that her psychiatrist husband, again, her psychiatrist husband, Franklin C. Curran, who drove her from Massachusetts to Michigan to have her snuffed, had been arrested several weeks earlier for a domestic abuse charge. And there had been a long history of domestic abuse allegations and calls to the police about domestic abuse. All right? You'll find that Judy had told lawyers that her psychiatrist husband, okay, seduced her when she was his patient at a community mental health center. Okay? She was his patient. You'll find that Judy's autopsy revealed some heavy-duty narcotics in her system, like, I'm not sure of the correct pronunciation of this drug, oxycodone. You know, it's gotten a lot of press recently. But this is what I'm getting to. What the media doesn't tell you about Judy. This is what I know, and a few other people know, okay? But what the media never ever tells you, and you won't find about poor Judy, is that she was a patient in a mental institution, okay? Why do I know that? Because I was a patient in the same mental institution with Judy. Okay, the mental hospital was McLean Hospital in Belmont, Massachusetts. Okay, I don't remember the exact date I was there with her. Okay, it was the decade I believe was the 80s, but it was Upham 1. That was a unit. I was there with her. This is a fact. Okay, Judy was a mental patient. All right, now. When you call people mental patients, you know, you get, you know, there's sort of a stigma. People think you're crazy, you know, if you tell people you're in a mental hospital, you were in a mental hospital. Okay, not something I typically like to tell people. I don't care about telling my listeners, you know, you know, I don't give a shit. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, Judy wasn't crazy, all right? She really wasn't. But I don't even know what her diagnosis was. The unit she was in with me was a behavioral disorder unit, okay? They didn't put psycho people in this unit. It was unlocked. It was the only unit in McLean that was unlocked. You could leave at any time. Okay, they just, you know, they just hope that you would not leave. Most people, I don't know of anyone that actually did walk out the door. But anyways, Judy did seem depressed, okay? But here's the point. Kevorkian, I'm hesitant to use the word killed, okay? When it comes to this sort of thing, it's a real gray area, okay? Would you call it mass manslaughter? I don't know. Okay, assisted suicide? I think that's a little weak. I think murder is a little strong. I'm not sure what I should classify this as. Okay, I don't want to sound like, you know, all the anti-abortion wackos. You know, it's like, you're murdering the fetuses, you know. I don't want to sound like one of those wackos. I'm not against people that, you know, are terminally ill that want to take their own lives. I just think that this is something that doctors should not be helping people with. Okay, but getting back to Judy, again, Kevorkian killed or helped to kill. I don't know how we're going to say this. He actually killed or helped to kill poor Judy, and poor Judy was a depressed mental patient. Okay, this is a fact. Okay, I don't know what Judy's clinical diagnosis was. Okay, but I can tell you she was depressed. Okay, and Kevorkian snuffed her. Let me tell you, you know, it really makes me angry. Okay, because, you know, I don't, you know, it's like when someone dies, you know, when I heard that Judy had died and she was fucking killed by Kevorkian, she was victim number 35, I really felt very angry at Kevorkian because I thought to myself, well, how come I didn't have any say in this, okay? Shouldn't I have some input on this? Okay, you know, why does Kevorkian why does Kevorkian have to, why is it up to him and people like Kevorkian to decide to help to kill people? You know, I don't want Judy dead. Judy's dead. And when she died, there's a little chunk out of the world that was taken out. I don't know how to say this, but the world was just not, you know, the world was not the same after that. The world was less. I can't articulate this. The world was even if I hadn't been in contact with Judy, but just the thought that she was dead really made the world a bleaker place. I wanted a world where Judy was in it, and it upsets me. Okay, you know, really makes me feel sad that Judy is not in this world, even though I never saw her. You know, Judy had, I read that Judy had two daughters. I only met one of them. She probably only had one when I knew her. And let me tell you, I'm not exaggerating. Judy's daughter, she was a little, she must have been around five. She was blonde. And I'm not exaggerating. She was the cutest, most beautiful child I have ever seen. I swear to God, I am not exaggerating. You know, Jesus Christ, man, I don't understand this. I really don't. I don't understand why she killed herself and why she had to have fucking Kevorkian help her to kill herself. I think Kevorkian exploited the, you know, he was just taking advantage of a mental patient, of a depressed woman, okay? And I'm sorry, but I'm just, you know, my last recollection of, you know, my this is what really it sticks out of my mind about Judy. It's indelibly left its mark in my mind, and not because it's like a real, you know, it was the last time I saw Judy, which was, it was in Waverly Square in Belmont, which was outside of McLean Hospital, where we had stayed as inpatients. We were just, it was a few years later, and we were just out there, you know, it was just in Waverly Square. It's this area around McLean's. It's just, you know, I had business in McLean's, and she probably did too. You know, we were probably just going there as outpatients. At least I was. And I bumped into her on the street. And and we had the same shrink when we were inpatients. And Judy said to me, and she really did, you know, she had like gray hair. She really looked a lot older. She looked older than what she probably should have looked like, but I don't know. But anyways, she said to me, we were talking about, you know, we were like, oh, how things go on, blah, blah, blah. And she said she had seen our shrink, you know. In McLean's, as in most mental hospitals, they assign you a shrink or a psychologist. In McLean's, they assign you a psychologist and a psychiatrist. But psychiatrist you see once a week. The shrink you see, I don't remember, two or three times a week. But anyways, we were talking about our shrink, and he happened to be like a real asshole. Real asshole. And Judy said to me, you know, I saw him... the shrink in Filene's basement, and he was a real flamer, you know. And she just, like, she had this, she just said it with this disdain. I guess, like, you know, the shrink was like, he really looked like a gay person. I don't have anything against gay people. I really don't. I've never been gay. I will not tell you folks that I've never had a gay thought. I have had gay thoughts, but I've never done anything gay. But anyways, you know, I remember I once said to this shrink, you know, I said to him, boy, I gotta have sex. I want to, like, go to some bar or some place, dance place or something, pick up a woman and have sex with her. And the shrink, he said to me, you know, sex without love is like masturbating a penis in a vagina. I believe that's a quote. And I didn't say anything, but this is what I felt like saying. I felt like saying, you know, you've never felt what a vagina feels like in your life, buddy. You don't even know what masturbating a penis in a vagina is, man. You know, it's like he's out of his element, you know? What are you talking about? But anyways, I think that, you know, I'm sorry, I'm talking about, you know, Judy's, you know, disdain, her sort of homophobic statement. But I really don't think that Judy was a homophobe. I think, you know, we all have a little bit of a homophobic tendencies, but thoughts, you know, is all of us. But I think that Judy just sort of, in that moment, I've never heard her say anything against gay people, anything bad about gay people. I think that Judy was just sort of finding a way to sort of express her disdain for this shrink. And he really was an asshole. He was sort of like an uncaring asshole. And he thought he was like hot shit, you know, but he wasn't. Believe me, if I remember his name, I'd certainly say, you know, who his name was, but I don't. He's a prick, and I think that she was just voicing her disdain, and we sort of had a moment there, because it's like we both had this sort of like understanding, this clarity of what an asshole this guy was, and we sort of just shared that moment there of hate and disdain. But, you know, I know that I'm not, like, putting... The reason why I'm telling you this story is because this is my last memory of poor Judy. And it may not sound like, to you, like she was that great a person, you know, but... she was one of the few people at McLean I could talk to. She was a little older than me. She had children. She was unlike, you know, the most of the other patients who are younger. But Judy was just, you know, she was a human being, and I'm just trying to put a human face on this because, if you read all the media and all the press about Judy, you know, it's like she's victim number 35, you know. I don't remember how many victims fucking Kevorkian had. I don't know. Probably, it may have been over 100. I don't remember. But, you know, Judy was victim number 35, and she's also, you know, a human being. And I think that's all that I'm going to say about Judy. I miss Judy. I'm sorry that she's not here. And I just had to get that out of my system. Okay, I think I'm going to take a break. You know, I'm going to say, before I take a break, I'm going to say one more thing about Judy. Cause I don't think I've entirely gotten Judy out of my system. There was one thing I really feel, like, guilty about. Judy had, like, asthma, and she couldn't smoke, or it would, like, you know, kill her or something, or, you know, really damage her. And once she got really depressed, and, like, you know, she sparked up a cigarette, and she was crying and all that shit, and I was like, you know, and I was just too hard on her, and I was like, you know, you can't do this, don't do this, you know, don't, you know, and I was just too rough on her, you know, I was playing, you know, I was trying to give her, like, I don't know what it is, tough love or whatever that shit you say, but, you know, I don't know why, I guess I was young. I was probably only in my early 20s at the time when I was with her, but to this day I feel guilty about, you know, busting her balls. You know, I was trying to help her, but I was just too hard on her, and I wish that I had been more. I'm having trouble finding the word, but I supportive and not really have busted her balls. Nothing I can do about that now. All I can do is sort of air the dirty laundry. That's all I can do. But I'm glad I got this out of my system. Okay, we're going to take a break. I think that, you know, I'm going to try to collect myself here. I'm sort of on the verge of tears here, and I got to sort of collect myself emotionally and take a leak, and we'll go on to do... W.E.B. Du Bois. I want to talk about him just a little bit, and that's going to be it for the show. Let me try to pick a longie. I don't know. I don't actually know how long the song is, but fuck it. I'm going to play it. Here we go. Oh, it gives me a duration, 4 minutes. That should do. Here.
Nestled in your bourgeois blanket, consumer infant world. Snuggled bugs in Eddie Bauer, drool saliva sweet. Got your blanket, here's your hanky, now snort out all your snots. I stand atop the highest mountain, I sleep beneath the deepest sea. I crawl across eternal desert in my struggle to be free. No more minis, accomplish nothing to fit in with the crowd.
normal ninnies aspire to blandness and shop for plastic crap. I guess the world needs normal ninnies to watch crappy TV shows. I guess the world needs normal ninnies to stink up all the air. I stand atop the highest mountain, I sleep beneath the deepest sea. I crawl across eternal deserts in my struggle to be free. Out window shopping, got no fucking brains at all. They shop for crap and eat the plastic. TV is their awe. Emote and whimper like a weakling baby, afraid to be alone. Life is easy when you're a plastic ninny who worships money, mobs, and rules. I stand atop the highest mountain, I sleep beneath the deepest sea. I crawl across eternal deserts in my struggle to be free.
That was Little Boy Melvin Rides Again by John Truby and the Ugly Janitors of America. Again, this is a live show. I know, doesn't mean much to people apparently, but it is a live show. What I forget to do is say the number and then go to the break, but again, you know, I'll give you the number. 415-738-0689. Okay? I'll give it to you again. 415-738-0689. It's a live show. Okay? And we will be here next week, so you can call in. Okay, so, and next week at 3 o'clock, I'm sorry, 12 o'clock Pacific time, that's 12 o'clock Pacific time, it's 3 o'clock for me Eastern time, but it's 12 o'clock for you Pacificers, okay, it's 12 o'clock on Sunday, okay, Pacific time. Now, so, you know, please be here and call in, because this may be your last chance to call in for a while, because as I've explained earlier on the show, unless Live 365 capitulates, all right, and withdraws their ads for the U.S., United States Armed Forces, unless they withdraw their Army recruitment ads, as I stated in my letter to them, okay, that I am canceling my account at the end of this month, okay? So that would mean that we got one more show here. The show will continue, live from Mount Sinai will continue, okay? But we will not be streaming live with Live 365. I do not think I will pick stream live with someone else because I really do not have enough callers to support. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, I hate not doing the show live. I like doing the show live. You know, because it's like when you do something dead, the opposite of live. I'm not sure what that's called. When you do it dead, it just doesn't. I don't know. It's just dead, man. It's just, you know, on a live show, anything could happen. You could say anything. You know, everything is pure. So I really just like not doing a live show. But anyways, until I get a greater audience, I'm probably not going to do streaming with anyone else. But anyways, that I will probably still, you'll still be able to call in. Okay, let me get on with the last topic. All right, let me have a little drinky of water first. All right. This is something that I've been meaning to talk about for, like, a few months. It's one of these things I never get to, all right? I sort of put it in the back of my backlog, and actually half of the article got lost. It comes from the Boston Globe. I can't even give you a date. It's written by Sarah Schweitzer, all right? But this is an article about W.E.B. Du Bois. I don't know a lot about Du Bois. He was a very early... he was instrumental in the early civil rights movement. Okay? Again, I really don't... I lost a lot of my notes for this guy. But anyways, he's really an important figure in the civil rights movement. And why he's in the news, why I'm talking about him, is because he's from Massachusetts, okay, Great Barrington, okay, my state. The Berkshire Hills School Committee, they were talking about naming a school after W.E. Du Bois, okay? I mean, Du Bois is probably the most famous person to come out of Great Barrington, okay? He really is a historical figure. And, well, they rejected. They rejected the proposal to name a school after this man. Okay? And let me tell you, but this is why I'm saying this to you. This is why This is the grounds for the rejection, okay? The grounds for the rejection is that he was a communist. Now, this is true. He was a communist. He really actually didn't get involved in the Communist Party, from my knowledge, until towards the end of his life, okay? But, you know, he was a commie, okay? But here's the problem, and here's what I'm bitching about, okay? And I'm going to retract that. It's not a bitch, okay? Let me get to the truth. I want to get to the truth of what's really, really going on. Okay? What is going on is that they don't want to name the school after a black guy. Okay? Let's cut the bullshit. Okay? Now, all this talk about him being a communist, I mean, big shit. So what if he was a communist? A, being a communist doesn't, you know, make you a bad person, okay? And B, you know, that's just a small footnote in his life, you know? And what he did, okay? I mean, that was just his political affiliation, you know? I mean, for example, in this article, they say, here, they have one guy quoted here in this article, I wouldn't want to name the school for Lenin or McCarthy, said Tom Devote, 59, a retired telephone installer, referring to the, that's all I need to read. But, you know, it's like, there's plenty of evil Republicans, okay, but we still, you know, we still name schools after them, okay? We name schools after Lincoln. There's plenty of schools named after Lincoln, okay? Now, we got people like George Bush, who are just as evil as Lenin or McCarthy, okay? Doesn't mean that all Republicans are evil, okay? You know, so this is just pure shit about the whole commie thing, and give me a break. It has nothing to do with this person's political associations. It has to do with the fact that he was black. There's no one, again, I want to challenge anyone to name me a more famous person that has come out of Great Barrington. In fact, you know, they wanted to erect a plaque, okay, a memorial, okay, for the Du Bois family homestead, okay, and this was in 1969, and there was, you know, everyone had a shit fit, okay, and you know what happened is that the FBI, okay, forwarded a file on Du Bois, okay, so the FBI got into this. It's like, what, you know, and it doesn't say here what, in the Globe article, what the file was. But, you know, I think it's safe to assume that the file was on his so-called subversive activities, and his, you know, his so-called communist ties. He did have communist ties, but you know something? It's not, I know at one point it actually was illegal to be a communist, okay? But, you know, that really, that was illegal in itself. It's, you know, it's just like the law was, it really isn't. It's unconstitutional, okay? As far as from my understanding, you can be in whatever political, you have a right to be associated with any political party you want to. But at one point in our history, it was illegal to be a communist, okay? So here we have the federal government, okay? This is your tax dollars at work, okay? They're taking your tax dollars, okay, to try to bash, okay, and to bash a black person, okay, and to try to erase his memory, okay? Now, I wish I had given you more in a history of Du Bois, but I think that he was one of the founding members of the NAACP, National Association of Colored People, NAACP. I don't remember the acronym. I'm sorry, folks. I didn't do my homework. But the thing is, I wanted to get this article. It's been fucking in my back burner for a long time, and I've been meaning to do this. I actually really didn't do Du Bois justice, you know. You know, I'm talking about how we're bashing the black man, and I can't even fucking do him justice on doing proper homework on him. But he really was. I actually had done some homework on this guy, and he really was an important sort of founder. He was a founder, one of the important people in the early civil rights movement. Well, I think that's going to be our show today, folks. Again, let me just have a little water. All right. The web address, our website is talkwarrior.com. Talkwarrior.com. Okay? Whether the show continues after this year or not on Live 365, okay, you will still be able to listen to the show at talkwarrior.com via streaming audio. Now, it will not be a live stream, okay, but you will still be able to listen to it, okay? There's nothing that's going to stop you from listening to this show. So I want all my listeners to defect, okay? Instead of listening to me here at Live 365, I want you to go, and actually it's been possible to listen to me at my website, okay, to Live from Mount Sinai, okay, since at least a month or two, okay, I've had streaming audio, okay? This is nothing new, folks. I mean, I've been trying to get people over there, all right? But in the meantime, I encourage anyone who has a membership with Live 365, even if you don't have a membership, I want to encourage you to do the right thing. And there's only one right thing to do. Okay? This is a moral imperative. There's only one right thing to do. And that is to tell I-365 that, you know, you're not going to take this anymore. You don't want any more recruitment advertisements for the U.S. military. Okay? You want this to end. And you want this to end by the end of the year. Remember, as far as I know, I'm the only martyr here. Okay, I will be the only martyr here. Okay, I will be the only martyr if no one else joins me in my protest. And I'll get into this next week about all the chicken shits and all the wussies, okay, who are doing this so-called sit-in, or whatever they call it. Their form of protesting is to say, we're not going to broadcast, okay? We're going to pay your rent, but we're not going to broadcast. Well, that's showing Live 365. Well, look, this is your opportunity to do something to stop, okay? Not to stop, but to do something to protest this evil war in Iraq. Excuse me. The media has sort of trained me to call this a war, okay? But again, it is not a war, it is an occupation, okay? Not a war, it's an occupation. It's no different from the German occupation of France during World War II, okay? And you know, the French resistance is really no different from the Iraqi resistance to the Americans, okay? It's just a resistance to an occupying force, okay? if we're going to call the French resistance freedom fighters, then we must also call the Iraqi resistance freedom fighters. They might not want freedom, okay, but they certainly want a freedom to govern themselves. That I can tell you that. They want freedom over not being occupied by the empire of the United States. So in that respect, they are freedom fighters. Okay? So let's stop mincing words, okay? Let's stop, you know, let's just say things like they are and stop bullshitting. I'm going to add some water and get to my credits. Gonna have a cough, too. All right. I'd like to thank John Truby for allowing us to play his great songs. For more information about John Truby, please go to our website at talkwarrior.com. I would like to thank Ed Gravara. See, I got a call, but I know that's on line one. That's on the wrong line. Okay. Fuck me. Should I take this call? Nah, I won't take it. I would like to thank Ed Gravara for donating the proceeds of his writing to support this show. Please check out his stuff at talkwarrior.com and please donate a dollar. All I ask is that people donate a dollar per year. And that means you, you cheap fucking bastards. Alright? I would also like to thank the God of my original father, Abraham, who gives me the energy and courage to fight evil. I dedicate this show to the people around the world who fight fascism, tyranny, imperialism, economic injustice, and racism. This show is a copyrighted broadcast of the TalkWarrior.com radio network. It may be retransmitted, provided that it is not altered or excerpted in any way. To get a copy of this week's show to syndicate freely on your website, go to radioforall.net or go to talkwarrior.com. Send us an email and we will show you how to do it. Streaming audio is not only easy to set up, but free. It really is. It's free. Okay? I'll see you again next week at Sunday, 12 o'clock noon, Pacific time. Please see our website, talkwarrior.com, for updated information about the show. Okay? And I will see you again next week. Oh,